Thank you so much, Don. So here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio. This is the Wednesday question and answer call from taken care of by Winfrey and our dear sister Terry Brown. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. Every time you hear a ding, there's another phone line joining in. And I welcome all those people that came in here in the last minute. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heiss. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Eric, welcome back. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for being here. And who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
It's Terry in Dallas.
I hear Terry from Dallas. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hello.
Donna.
Donna.
Yeah, from Great Falls.
From the Great Falls. How, Donna? How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today?
Great, good, great. I was going to say as crazy as ever, but no, I'm not going to say that.
No.
All right, Donna. Thanks for being here. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Ah, it's Alex from Oxford, England.
Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
All right. You're from Oxford?
Yes, in England, yes.
All right. So you're calling all the way. It's been in the middle of the night for you, isn't it?
Well, it's 2 a.m. nearly, yeah.
2 a.m. All right. Alex, I don't think I've spoken with you before. Have you been with us before, called in live?
No, this is my first time. Sorry.
All right. Well, an extra warm welcome to you, Alex.
Thanks. Thanks.
And we had more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Joanna, Chicago.
Hi, Joanna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Ronnie and Rob.
Hello, friends. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. The next caller. Please say your name and location.
Maryland, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Maryland. Welcome. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Heiss?
Yes, fantastic. Thank you so much. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss. Hi, everybody.
Good evening,
Hi.
Don. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Hello, Don.
Hi.
Good. All right. So, and I welcome all those people that are joining in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for being here. We are still 2 minutes away from the hour. Good evening. Two lines coming in at the same time. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Richard from California. Hi.
Who is that from California?
Richard from California. Hello.
Hello, Richard. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And then, is it Carrie?
Yes.
Hi, Carrie. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you, neighbor?
Good, good, neighbor. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. Good evening.
Hi,
and welcome
Marilyn.
To the call.
Thank you. Was that Marilyn I heard?
We have another Marilyn on the line, yes.
She's from Atlanta, too.
Triple.
Who's that from Atlanta?
Hello.
New Mexico.
Welcome. Hello, New Mexico. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, sir.
Being here. More people have joined in. We welcome you all. Please say your name and location.
Apollo, Washington.
It was two people at the same time, I believe. Try again.
You go first.
Martha, Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Martha. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you.
All right. The next person, please say your name and location.
Paula from Hemet, California.
I'm sorry, I picked up California. What's your name?
Paula from Hemet, California.
Paula, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Ron in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
Ron, I welcome you. How are you doing?
Pretty good, and you?
All right, doing fine.
Good.
And I'm from North Hollywood.
Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Yep, better. Happy New Year.
All right, man. Thanks for being here.
Awesome.
Who else? Did I miss anybody? Please, if so, feel free to say your name and location.
Julia from California.
Julia, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad to hear you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Oh, this is Julianne from San Diego.
Hello, Julianne. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right.
All right. And so is Jim.
The Big Sedona Jim. Welcome to the call, Jim.
Well, a little smaller now, but thank you. I'm losing weight as we speak.
I'm speaking about the spiritual aspect of you.
Ah, thank you. Well, that indeed is so. Thank you so much.
All right. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Felipe, Long Beach, California. Hi.
Felipe, Avant, welcome to the call.
Thank you. How many are we?
Heck of a lot.
Oh, good.
Has Marilyn number three arrived?
Yes, she has.
All right.
Number three in Oxford, Michigan. I'm here.
All right, guess what? We have Alex from the real Oxford in England with us on the phone line.
Wow! Wow, we're respectable. That's awesome.
Yes, we do have somebody else who is, I guess, I have an echo. I need to mute the line. If I do so, I apologize, but I have to keep the line clear over here.
How is Uncle
Dharmananda?
Dharmananda, welcome to the call.
I'm Terry from Nevada.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Nice, thank you.
All right.
From Oxford, that makes you feel like an intellectual now.
All right. So, Wynn is running a little late, but let us stick together and just have a good time.
Did you mute me, guys?
Nope. You're loud and clear, hearable worldwide.
Okay, I just didn't want to be the echo.
Yeah, no, I haven't figured out who it is yet.
Well, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone, yes. 432.
What causes those echoes?
But we need to give Don a test to see if he's up to our caliber to stay on the phone call. He's not from Oxford.
Are you ready for that, Don?
Yes.
All right. We had somebody else call in. I'm glad to
hear.
I win.
The man.
I win.
And
Terry, that's Terry too. Hello, Terry.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hey, Terry.
Hello. Hey.
How is Uncle?
Under the weather?
I haven't talked to Uncle Terry in a couple of days. He was really, really ill with the flu. We went down and we got some of the copies of The Man Who Walked with Jesus signed, and he wasn't able to write. So finally, Wynn drew a heart, and Terry was able to put his initials in the heart. So we have some of those for sale. The donation, extra donation, goes to Terry.
All right. All right. There are more people joining. All if you have a chance, please say a name and location. But only if you want to. We welcome you. So,
you know, I feel like there's a lot more people on the phone. The energy feels like a bigger vortex.
All right, all right.
You feel correct.
It's the guy from Oxford.
That's a serious guy.
It's the man from Oxford.
No, I don't know.
No, it's the retard.
All right.
That poor guy. Already.
Oh, dear. Wanted to come out and mind his own business. So.
Bad now. Don, to answer you, if somebody puts on speakerphone, sometimes the voice comes back through the phone again.
Oh, okay.
That's
what it is. No, it was Don asking if he was smart enough, and he wasn't.
Mm. Well, he was smart enough to ask a question.
No, there's a difference between smart and knowledge.
That's right.
He didn't have that knowledge.
And there's wisdom.
He's smart enough to remember it. See?
Okay. And remember 2 + 2 = 4? We're all right.
Some days not. But depends.
He dropped out, Vin.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Your console. You're back in.
Yeah, right. We can hear you.
Yeah.
You're a little light.
Okay.
Oh, Vin, we have a lady from Oxford in Michigan. Her name is Marilyn, and we have a gentleman, Alex, from Oxford in England here on the call.
This is an Oxford kind of night, right?
Only intelligent people come from Oxford.
No, there's all sorts of people.
Ohio's got an Oxford.
Do you see them? You can be done.
Southern Ohio.
All right. I'm muting everybody. Here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is January 14th, 2015, and we made it to 2 weeks into a new year, Wynn and Terry in Sedona, and all of you everywhere. And this is our Wednesday night call. And, you know, our calls are all unique, and it's all kind of developed by the seat of the pants. And, you know, the reason it's the seat of the pants is because there has been no guideline on how to do this. And it's like, for a long time, we called it an experiment because as it was unfolding for me, I was hearing, talking to these voices, this intelligence that identified itself in a certain way. And it was hard to believe they were who they said they were. It seemed perhaps too casual. It seemed like there should have been red carpets and angels all over the place. And of course, not only that, I didn't quite feel worthy of doing this. And why are they talking to me? I mean, at the time, I was living in my RV, writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And so I was testing it. And then I found, now there are a couple of miracles, some phenomena, this and that. And then I found that when I would show up and give talks, there was this incredible energy present that other people could feel. And when I asked about it, they said, that was them. We were helping you. And then we started out doing these Wednesday calls where people would submit questions. And I have to say, when we first started, I said, man, everyone's going to put us on a microscope. What if Terry says something wrong? How do I know what they're going to say? What happens if something negative comes through? So we just did it from 1 week to the next. And when we started out, Terry was very shy. And she's still shy, but we've both kind of grown in confidence because so many of the people are having such great benefit. One of the things that happens is this intelligence that says they are the Elohim has the ability, as I said when I was doing live calls, they could project energy into a room. And there's no doubt in my mind that there was energy in the room, incredible energy, and people could feel it, and we had lots of emails about it. And what I began to learn was that energy was coming in from outside of the veil, and it was giving people, let me see how I put this into words. There's now a lot of vocabulary to explain this, but when you feel this energy, it's kind of like, let's suppose somebody walks to your door and then they leave again, but they leave a psychic trail where they're going. Well, it kind of leaves a trail that gives us who are feeling the energy an opportunity to follow that trail and perhaps get above some of the patterns in this realm that keep us trapped and compressed. And it's not necessarily a fast process. It's like you can feel the energy, but that doesn't mean your life changes overnight. But the track is there. And then you come back again. You feel the energy again. And was that it? Was that what one was talking about? Because everybody has to test it. This is, I'm telling you my experience and what I've observed from people. But that's not something that to believe. You can believe that I had the experience and that there's something there to it. But each of us was on our own path to make our connections with higher energies, expand our own track, get over our own patterns, and wherever we are in our evolutionary path, there's a place to go. There's a next step. Otherwise, we get stagnant. We get bored. We get lonely. We get withdrawn, and we feel stuck, and we can't make anything move. So on these Wednesday calls, people ask incredible questions, and they usually give incredible answers. And I always say that these answers are not to be believed blindly. You have to, first of all, if they answer someone else's question, and it may or may not apply to you, oftentimes we go through the same things, all of us. Sooner or later we do, but it may not be your answer for the same issue. The other thing is that sometimes Terry can have bleed through, where she has very strong opinions about something or whatever, and her opinion may intersperse in the answer to a question. It's in coming to watch how this works. When we're talking about group soul energy, which is what I believe we're experiencing, we're experiencing a multitude of individual entities who are together in another dimension and answering these questions. So Terry kind of becomes part of the group. That's the way that I see it. She feels like she's with them. And they're not just taking her over and talking through her. She's now part of the group. So if she has something that's strong on her side, it can come through as bleed through. So on that note, I always ask Terry, are you ready? And she says no. And I say, neither am I. and then we start. And, you know, truthfully, because we're doing this, sometimes people think we have it all together. And I don't think I would ever tell anybody I had it all together or I was a perfect master or anything like that. I'm just a guy that got thrown into some incredible experiences, and I kept evaluating them. So saying, I think this might be important to other people. And I didn't quite know how to make it important. It was a mystery. But we experimented, and now we're kind of scratching the surface. And there's not huge amounts of people, but there's a growing group of people who are getting real benefit out of what we're doing that come into our conference calls regularly. And I get emails all the time from people that are having some kind of personal experience indicating that they're having a connection. And sometimes they see the color pink, and sometimes they get an intuitive message or a dream message. Oftentimes people have a synchronicity, and synchronicities happen. Synchronicities are coincidences that seem like they couldn't have been coincidences. And synchronicities occur when a person has expanded their energy into other dimensions and attract, as I to explain, is a whole topic in of itself. But the person, in order to have a synchronicity, usually you have to have an expanded energy field. And I think that one of the byproducts of paying attention to our work is finding your field expanded, finding your perceptions deeper, learning how to forgive yourself and forgive others, learning how to express compassion and in a real way. And probably most of all, having the experience that there really are beings in other dimensions that can work with us, that are actually part of us, and we're part of them, and getting on a first-name basis with those beings, like getting the idea that they really can pay attention to you, and they can do things on their side to help you. And their criteria is for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. So on that note, Father, Mother, God, we do this little invocation to just bring in, project protective energy and group energy before each kind of channeling session. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Fa On. We are a combination of part of the Ra group and part of the Elohim group. And the reason that we have combined to bring through these channelings is to be of assistance where we can, and also to have a bigger footprint in the frequency range so that the Ra aspect of us is of a lower vibration than the Elohim, which is of a higher vibration, so it makes bigger range of vibration, and more of us can perhaps be felt or sensed. And also we have a bigger range of entities in our groups that can help to bring through answers to questions. When Wynn refers to the color pink, that is the color that we manifest when we intersect with the people in the third dimension. It is a combination of activation of our frequency and the frequencies which we are intersecting with. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. This is for Marilyn in Pennsylvania. But before I ask her question, I'd like to ask a question that relates to her question, and that is, why do cats purr? Were they genetically engineered so that they would purr and humans would have an enjoyable experience feeling a connection with them when they purred?
Thank you. It was partly the effect of the vibration of mother and the animals, the cats, that could then be calming to the brood and calming to the individual. That was part of the reason that that took off and became a survival mode for that type of animal. They were genetically engineered with experiments in the area of different noises that would serve the race of the cats, would serve them. There were many experiments with different types of features that animals have or could have, and this was one of the features that took off for that particular breed.
Thank you. So Marilyn's question is, I have the sweetest cat. She will be 5 years old in February, and I've had her since she was 2.5 months old. My cat seems happy and content, but she does not purr, hardly ever. And if she does, it's only for a few seconds and hardly audible. Why doesn't my cat purr?
Thank you. Your cat is in the new experience of being a cat and has been in the other body forms of animal and is not used to purring. It is through being in the genetic line of the cat for a number of times that it picks up the wherewithal, the desire, the knowledge that it can purr and that it is useful to purr. Your cat is able to purr, but it is its own past experience that has kept purring to this side, and your cat is sometimes startled by this ability to purr. Thank you.
Great answer. Let's see. This is from Jose, J-O-S-U-E, Josue or Jose and Cisco. And I don't have a city, but it's kind of not a personal question. Are there benefits in doing astral projection? Can it be dangerous? Is there a safe way to astral project? Thank you.
Thank you. There are advantages and disadvantages to astral projection. It can be dangerous, as when you are projecting into other spaces, you may run into dangers, such as you may not realize that since you don't have your body alone, that you are still affected by anchor points. The anchor points of your light body, and if you were to, say, experience a boat or an object coming toward you in the astral, you may not realize that you have your anchor points, that you need to protect the integrity of, if it were an object, say, to hit you in the astral, it could knock your body, your anchor points askew and disturb your thread or your tie to your body, and it might make it hard to follow the thread back to your body. Another potential problem would be meeting another being in the astral that wasn't quite friendly or was so distraught over its own isolation that it might try to take you over or track you back to your body. One needs to go slowly when astral projecting. Astral projecting then begins to have an experiential track that you can learn what to avoid and the dangers. Astral projection can give you benefits like the ability to see in other spaces and to translate what is going on in other spaces as to how it relates to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there people that have astral traveled that got stuck and actually couldn't come back?
Yes. For instance, Wing Angel is one example, who at night would astral travel, and one day he could not come back. He couldn't access the body and make it work, and his body passed away, and within 2 days, as the family mourned for him and the friends gathered around, the bed caught on fire where he had been lying. As Wing was attempting to figure out how to return. Wing was reborn into another life, a reincarnation, and remembered his life as Wing Angel. He remembered his wife and had his new father get in touch with his wife, Smokey. He then talked to Smokey, and Smokey came to live in the same house as the reincarnated Wing, and they were very close. However, at one point when Wing grew to be a teenager, the divergence between them caused them to move into different locations. When one leaves suddenly, for instance, and astral traveling and leaves his body without trauma, he can tend to remember, one can remember their past. There are many instances of children remembering their past, and it depends upon how the family handles it, whether they continue to remember their past. But as the child moves into his new life and new experiences, the past life tends to fade. Thank you.
Thank you. Another question related to this. Is my understanding that when you sleep, you go into the astral realm, and when you die, you go into the astral realm? The first question is, are the same dangers possible for someone who's sleeping to end up losing their anchor points, or is there another kind of protection in place? And the second question is, when you die, can you still meet one of those big bad baddies up there who attempts to dominate you?
Thank you. We answer the second question first. When a person goes through a transition towards dying and they begin little at a time to let go of their current life, and also if they have had strong family ties during their life that have passed over, these strong family ties will tend to gather around them as they are preparing to transition. So it depends upon one's own orientation, one's own connections, what one has done and connected with in their life. If they have been positive and if they are connected to the angelic realm, if they're connected to their family, to other members that have passed on, there are groups of people or individuals that meet them, and one does not even get interceded into by a negative source. If one has doubts and fears, then it may be of the frequency of a negative source that can then gain access through that frequency which the person is experiencing. when one is sleeping, one tends to have the protection of the, we say, the guardian angels and the other connections that surround and protect one. It is through astral traveling where something unexpected, where one is unfamiliar with the dangers and is going into uncharted territory and things they do not know about and do not necessarily have the protection that they have when they are asleep, that they can run into danger. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. This is from Linda. Linda Whiteside, I hope you don't mind saying your last name. I am a senior, and I'm concerned about what I've been reading concerning the U.S. dollar and what lies ahead for 2015. Knowledgeable people assert that we are headed for a major crash worldwide and the devaluation of the dollar. How will this affect the average citizen in this country? If and if this is a strong potential, how can we protect ourselves financially? Thank you. I'll just make an interjection here. One time this question was answered where they said the best protection is to have a strong community, to have friends, to make friends with your neighbors. Because if you try to amass gold and silver under your bed and your neighbors don't have it, they're starving, it's going to be hard to feel safe anywhere. But I don't know if that answer still applies, but I wanted to mention it. And I turn it to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. That is a correct answer. And sometimes when things seem the blackest and the bleakest, then there can be other answers. For instance, how Iceland handled their economic problems. When one is under a system that is not in all ways through and through to the core workable, one can run into fears and can run into problems. It's the system that is not totally workable would fall and then be replaced by another system that was true and workable, then it would serve everybody well to move into the new system. If a system is strong within itself, one would not necessarily threaten it unless it was someone with a lot of clout and money that was trying to put one's own system in place that was not totally workable, but was slanted to the advantage of the people that were putting it into existence. A strong community, strong friends that can be helpful to each other in times of trouble, that can perhaps have their own backyard little garden with food, that can have strong support and sharing of knowledge is very helpful, and it is helpful to put it in place as soon as possible instead of to wait until something happens. It is not certain how all of this will come out even now, so we cannot make fixed predictions about it.
Thank you. From Felipe in Long Beach. And she said, since I feel such a strong resonance and association with the Elohim, is it also possible to remember past lives in the physical? I sort of chalked this up to the possibility of experiencing different physical expressions at different times all at once in the here and now. Alternatively, the possibility of actually being a member of the Ra group, but remembering the assistance of the Elohim and their pink love light during past lives. May I ask the Elohim to comment on this? Thank you.
Yes. When you go into a meditative state and set the mind chatter aside, let the mind chatter just flow through you, and not be affected, learn to not be affected by the mind chatter, then other avenues of information can open up to you when you remember a past life. And it is truly the memory of the past life. It is like a memory of this life, of yesterday, of 2 weeks ago, of when one was four, of different times. As one remembers, it seems very much a part of one, and it fills in gaps in a person's past to begin to remember your past lives, and it is very possible to remember your past lives. If a memory is energetically something that seems right, but yet it isn't the same as a memory of yesterday or something earlier in this life, it may be just a strong resonance with a person in a past life who you may have heard of in a past life or respected or looked up to in a past life or then captured by that person in a past life. And if you take it slowly and just sort out the memory, see what fills in the gaps, and see what it is like to remember. You might have dreams where the same dream comes over and over, even a simple dream like walking up a flight of stairs, and that's always the same flight of stairs in the dream. And it's hard, say, to negotiate the top steps. And so this may be coming from an actual memory of a past life that is expressed in your dream state. We hope that helps.
Thank you. This is from Sija in Buckinghamshire, England. I have had a few dreams about aliens in the past, but early in 2014, when I had a series of three connected alien dreams, whereby the story continued from one dream to another, it caught my attention. In the first dream, I had been working on some kind of innovative plastic material with an ex-boyfriend. My ex started to complain about the aliens, expecting too much, and at the same time, a voice started talking to me, asking repetitively, "Do you know why you are here?" In the second dream, the same ex-boyfriend was in it. I was given an alien device which was a countdown timer, which started to count down as soon as I held it. My full name appeared on it. And the final dream ended in an abduction scenario. After the dreams, I felt anxious and decided to say a prayer of protection every night before I go to sleep, which I still do. Is it possible to get abducted in your sleep? And if so, did this happen to me? And is there anything you can tell me about why I had these dreams?
Thank you. In the past, you have been abducted and you have received information from alien races, and you in the past had even been in an alien race and working with them. So this is the opening for this to happen, and we suggest to continue with your meditation and your prayers and when you go to sleep.
Thank you. Ravya in Canada has a question about her mother. My mother has been in a coma since Monday. That's this week. They told us that she has less than 24 hours to live. She lives in a vegetative state and is in the palliative care department waiting to die. My question is, why is she still hanging on, as we all have given her permission to die peacefully? She told us for months that she didn't want to be in a vegetative state should she die of a stroke or heart attack. Also, please tell her that in spite of her mental abuse to me for a large portion of my life, that I still love her and only wish her well into the light. I know she was only doing her best, given her hard life. Thank you.
Thank you. We sense that she may be wishing to connect and to make amends and to have something different. Keep wishing her well and telling her that you forgive her and others if they can also tell her, then she may let go. She feels very connected to you and wishes desperately to have a strong connection and to not let that go. So we say to be patient and to send her love and forgiveness. Maybe even go and tell her little things that happened in the day, and so that there is a connection and she feels that connection. Eventually she will then be able to move into her transition. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Dominanda asked a question, and seems like a silly question. Excuse me for saying that, but I'll ask it anyway, and maybe I'll be surprised at your answer. A guest on Coast to Coast AM said he believes that the Earth is the center of the universe. Is this true? Please elaborate. Dominanda.
Thank you. There are many centers for instance, the galaxy, each galaxy has a center. Each person has a center. We take a look farther at the universe, and we do see that it has a center, yes. And this center has around it very complex, yet simple motions that all work together. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the Elohim experience themselves having a special physical affinity with the center of the universe?
Thank you. We are affected by the center, as everyone is affected by the center. We take it as part of our GPS orientations and locate by it. We are not the center, yet we are part of the center. We hope that helps.
Thank you. I wanted to ask one more question here from Rich Buckley. We got about 3 minutes. It's about wormholes. I think I should ask, what is a wormhole, before I ask this question for everyone?
Thank you. A wormhole is a connection between two areas, and it helps energies translate between one area to another area. They tend to be spinning, and they tend to be tunnel-like, and one can use these tunnels to translate between one realm and another realm, to translate between one energy and another energy. The tunnel of light is in essence a wormhole that is set up to help one translate from the third density into the heaven realm. And these wormholes can be used for travel between one realm and another realm. What is your next question?
The question is, are there ways to hold a wormhole open? And if so, what are they? And can you, let me just say, if so, what are they? If it's in our highest good to have that answer. And can humankind learn to use wormholes for interstellar travel?
Yes, they can. And a wormhole, we look at different types of wormholes, and wormholes generally stay open. However, one has to have a special sense to move into a wormhole and to translate through the wormhole to the other realm or the other star system.
Thank you. Hey, that's it for the night. Is there anything special we should hold in the light in this time right now?
Yes. Hold the preciousness of yourself, of each person on the line, each person listening, each person on the PBS radio, each person listening to a replay. Hold your own self as precious. You may not realize how precious you are, but it is only because of added unwanted things that have happened in your past, and you are precious, very precious.
Thank you so much. And on that note, we're going to say good night. Thank you all for being here and helping to hold the energy for this. This is a group energy experience, and that each of you is making a huge contribution in helping to anchor not just the information, but the energy into this realm. And special thanks to Hive and to Carla Ruckert, who's not here today. And we're going to unmute everybody, and we'll see you next time. And as we're signing off, we are going to play Universal Lover.
All callers are unmuted.
I love you guys. I love you guys.
Thanks, Wynn.
Thank you all.
Thank you, family.
Bye. Good night, everyone. Julia, in your heart.
Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you.
Love calling. Thank you, Carrie. Love you. Love you guys.
Okay. We're not playing Universal Lover. It's not uploaded. We are playing One Love by Bob Marley.